The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Yesterday was kind of the first day in the monsoon where there was like no clouds in the sky. I mean, it was not going to rain yesterday, so I think we were in line to get a day, kind of a break, but things will start to fire back up, maybe even tonight, and as we get going into the rest of the week. It's the Buckmaster Show on August the 14th, a Tuesday edition. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice have our worldwide live listening, which means you can hear our program anywhere in the world by going to my website, buckmastershow.com, or KVOI.com, the station's fine website. Today we resume our monthly interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators of Pima Community College. Today we hear from Tom Cluding. Tom is the Academic Director for Dual Enrollment and High School Partnerships at Pima Community College. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, what is dual enrollment?
Dual enrollment is for our high school students, and the name kind of indicates what it is. They're enrolled in their high school at the same time they're enrolled at Pima Community College. That's the dual enrollment. And through that dual enrollment, they are taking a college course in high school where they get high school credit for it at the same time they get the college credit. So the students get a two-for-one deal.
I like that. It's like jump-starting, kind of getting one foot, if you will, in the door of higher education.
Yes, and it's designed that way, and it's across the country. There's a lot of success with dual enrollment. They're finding a lot of students who didn't think they could go to college or didn't know what they wanted to do. This was a good door opener for them.
So why would a student want the dual enrollment class? And when can they start? I mean, is it junior year or senior year? How does that work?
Yeah, by Arizona statute, a student has to be the junior or senior to take dual enrollment. There is an exception. You can have up to 25% of the students in a course that are undergraduates, but primarily it's for juniors and seniors. And why would they want to do it? They want to get jump-started on their college. They want to go ahead and take a course to see how the college courses are, how they work, and also to not have to pay for that later on. We, through Pima, are able to do this at no cost to the student.
Really?
Yes. And the way that works is that for the dual enrollment, the student has to qualify for the course. It's not all students can take advantage of it, but they have to qualify, and they have to use the same qualifications they would for anybody who ended up at the college door. But the teachers, they apply, become an adjunct faculty at Pima. They also have to meet the same credentials as any adjunct faculty or full-time faculty at Pima. If those two things work, then we can offer the dual enrollment to that student. So we're doing that in a lot of different content areas.
So a high school teacher, in effect, becomes part of the Pima family as far as a teacher as well, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. So they are dual. They have opportunity to be both their high school teacher and a college adjunct at the same time, yes.
And Tom, you said something that caught my ear there about this doesn't cost the student anything. And again, how does that work?
Well, the way that works, and Pima has done this for a number of years, is since Pima does not have to pay for the faculty, the school is paying for that faculty,
right.
There's no faculty cost. And through that, there are other costs involved, but Pima has said they will absorb those costs. For example, there's a cost if they're going to take a writing course or a math course, they have to have an assessment, ACCUPLACER. And so Pima eats that cost, knowing that that's good for students. The only time there may be a cost is the textbook piece. And most districts will buy the textbooks for the students. In some rare cases where the district doesn't have the finance or whatever, the student may have to purchase a textbook. But as we're going to more online text and things, that the cost is being minimized as well.
And what kind of courses, Tom, are offered?
It's across the palette. There are all types of different courses. A lot of them are the career tech courses. So there's automotive, there's manufacturing, there's the some of the public safety areas in terms of fire, EMT are offered. But then we also go into the academic side, and probably the primary ones are the Writing 101, the early writing courses, early math courses are offered. We do history, and so some of the social studies are out there. So there's a pretty big gamut, and most of it's related around what the school decides they want to do, what the faculty is able to be credentialed to do.
We're speaking with Tom Kluding, the academic director for dual enrollment and high school partnerships. Tom, you come from a background in Ohio where you worked with a lot what traditionally, I guess, has been called vocational education. The narrative about everybody needs to go to college has really changed a lot, hasn't it?
I think the conversation today should be you need a skill set, whatever that skill set is. And for example, if you get some credentials in some of the IT areas, college isn't as important, degree isn't as important as the credentials. And most of the industries, many industries now are going to credentials, and there's a big need for that. And there's tremendous need across all different areas of construction, health, manufacturing, you go on and on and on. Everyone has a need for those skilled employees.
And look at the shortage now that we have in the skilled set like electricians. You just don't have a lot of young people going into these areas.
That's correct. And we need more people to see that as an option, as a career.
Do all our high schools in the area offer these dual enrollment courses, Tom?
We have, of the area schools, we have about 40 of them that are involved with us at this time. We'd like to expand that and grow some more. But there's 40 schools right now involved in some form or fashion.
How does a student or a parent know if their school is offering the dual enrollment courses?
The schools that we work with put that in their student handbooks and make them aware. Oftentimes there's education sessions that a student can attend, usually through their guidance departments and through their own schools, that they get the word gets out and word among students.
How do these dual enrollment courses, how do they differ from what's known as like AP courses?
Well, advanced placement is also an opportunity for a student to get college credit while in high school. And AP is a good option. The difference is with an AP course, the student, after they have taken the curriculum, need to then take an exam. And on exam, they need to get a certain score. And those things have to be in place before they can get the credit. In terms of the dual enrollment, the student has already met the credentials, and that course actually ends up in a college transcript. So it's transcripted right away. The student, high school student, actually becomes a Pima student and has a Pima college transcript.
This actually will help with enrollment numbers too, won't it?
That's one of our goals.
This really will beef those numbers up, getting kids in high school interested in higher education. And again, is there a limit, Tom, on how many courses a student could take before they enroll as a freshman then at Pima?
No, whatever the school is able to offer and willing to offer and to have the facilities. Our biggest barrier to this, Bill, is having high school teachers who have the right credentials.
Mm.
That's the huge barrier we have. And a lot of teachers, high school teachers, will go on and get masters, but not necessarily in English or math or what we call the content area. So if we had more teachers who could qualify, then we could expand it. The other piece is that we need more students to meet the qualifications to be in. So those are our two barriers.
Is there somewhere, Tom, Kluding, that people could find out more information? You want to direct folks to a website?
We don't have too much on our website yet because
okay.
The college is in the mm-hmm. process of updating that website. But when it is, we hope to have a very robust presence on that. They're welcome to contact me or their guidance counselors at most of their schools can give them information as well as any of our student success centers at the college. They all have information they can provide.
Okay, and the main Pima website is pima.edu for more information. We've been speaking with Tom Kluding. That's K-L-U-D-I-N-G. Tom would be happy to answer any of your questions for parents or students about what I think is a really good deal for kids, young people, dual enrollment, and these high school partnerships. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Your time.
All right. For more information, again, it's pima.edu. This portion of our program is brought to us by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Tom, do you like bakery goods?
Oh, I do.
Oh, who doesn't, right?
They don't like me.
Yeah. Well, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The owner, Steve, is up very early with his team of bakers, as you can imagine, making sure that the bread that you'll be served on your sandwich right now at lunch came out of the oven just a few hours ago. And there's a wide variety of breads as well. I love those chocolate brownies for dessert that Steve and the team put together. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of our great partners, including Pima Community College. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour as Tucson gets ready to celebrate a birthday. Plus, we'll talk to TucsonWeekly.com writer David Safir about education. The program is Buckmaster. We air from noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, BuckmasterShow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, certified financial planner, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going?
The week is going fine. Better today. We're up about 140 points, and it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of red ink on Friday and Monday. Yeah. So just Turkey, I guess, played a little role in that.
Well, there was some panic about what might happen
The lira.
Turkish lira. Contagion.
Uh-huh.
But we've heard about those contagions before. They don't seem to last very long. Now, there are some problems, potentially. But we tend to, because Turkey seems a little bit exotic, we tend to kind of put it aside. It's a very large country. Turkey has the second largest military in NATO.
Do they really?
They do. Just second to us.
Wow.
Yeah. So they spend a lot of money on things that prop up the economy. And when the economy gets weak and the government has trouble spending that, and they have to print money. Mm-hmm. And so when the lira falls, the printed money, they have to print more of it, of course, to buy the same amount of stuff because they're not manufacturing their own weaponry necessarily. And that causes inflation. And so the snowballing effect of inflation, printing more to buy more, et cetera, that's the source of the long-term worry. And, of course, it has effects not so much in the stock market but in the bond markets.
Well, Turkey certainly will not be one of the fundamental changes underway in our economy. It's more of a kind of a passing thing. Let's dig deep here into the bones of what is the fundamental change going on, or what are the fundamental changes.
So last week we started talking about two fundamental changes that had been off into the future and are now really in the present, and not just in the medium term, but in the short term. And when changes of this magnitude creep in on us and begin to affect our daily existences, then that's fundamental. And as you know, Bill, when you have fundamental change, it's going to affect markets. And so that has occupied more and more of my intellectual resource recently. And interestingly, I'm beginning to see more and more people writing about it, if not in exactly the same terms, but really emphasizing the immediate nature of some of the changes that are happening in our economy. And those two fundamental changes are, one, climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of climate change.
And you talked a little bit about that last week.
We did, yes, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later on in this segment. But the other fundamental change that's been going on since probably 1980 is income disparity. Now, income disparity is affecting the middle class. What it's saying is that the growth in GDP is not going to the middle class, it's going to the upper classes. So let's say the top 10% of earners are gobbling up all of the growth in GDP. So how does the middle class survive? Well, what happens is they're not seeing real increases in their real wages, especially when you take into effect the effects of inflation. So what the middle class does is they depend upon decreases in costs, mm-hmm, of things that they use every day,
right,
in order to maintain their essentially lifestyle or level of living. And so long as we're in a global economy that is allowing everyday commerce to have a pricing mechanism that is affected by lower costs of labor outside, and materials as well, outside of the U.S., then the middle class in the U.S. was able to maintain their lifestyle, maintain their costs of living, and also see some improvements that you and I can see on a daily basis. Get a new car, get a new washing machine, you know, the flat panel TVs, really be able to afford the things that essentially, and I'm going to say this even though it's going to sound horrible, to keep the masses down, you know, to keep people feeling okay.
But at some point, that's going to catch up with you if you're not making any kind of income that is really substantial. If it's basically stagnant, at some point, that will catch up to us.
And that's exactly what's happened. Mm-hmm. So we saw an immediate effect during the 2000s as the middle class was essentially using credit card debt and their homes to finance their expenditures, their consumption. Okay, we saw where that went. That bubble burst, and the average family in the 2008 recession lost about $70,000 in value, just getting through that recession. And you say, well, people don't have $70,000 to tear up, but they lost it in the value of their homes, in the value of their investments, or in some cases, in increased debt. Okay, that's happening again. So what we're seeing, though, even though consumption is steady or rising slightly, what we're beginning to see is large increases in credit card debt. And we're now beginning to see, as the home construction and the housing market improves, we're beginning to see people using those, using their homes to finance their consumption. That is a bubble that is not ready to burst yet, but it is sitting there on the horizon as a large problem. To make matters worse,
go ahead.
We have national policy now that is making the problem worse. So rather than trying to deal with improving middle class wages, the tax bill that was just passed, or not just now, in the beginning of the year, has benefits mostly for those people who are at the top 10% or higher in income earners. So that a very good piece of that tax bill was a cut in corporate taxes and some stimulus to get offshore money back to the states. But because it didn't equally benefit the middle class and therefore benefit consumption, companies were very hesitant to make long-term decisions about increasing productivity or increasing production. And so what did they do? They started buying back stock. The biggest effect so far of the tax increase or the tax cuts on businesses has been over $1 trillion so far this year in stock buybacks. In fact, one company alone, Apple, so far has bought back $45 billion with a B of their stock.
Shelley, could you take a quick question?
Sure.
Richard, go ahead.
Hi, Richard.
790-2040. Go ahead.
Hi, Shelley. What's your analysis right now on the new housing construction starts nationwide? Housing starts declined in June. I believe they'll decline probably in July. It looks to me in Tucson that we may be starting to decline on our housing starts a little bit due to the tariffs on Canadian timber and the tax law changes, disallowing some of the property tax write-offs nationally. What's your analysis on what's going on? Because it looks like we might be getting hurt.
It's not a sector that I follow in the specificity that you obviously do, but you're absolutely right. When costs begin to go up because of additional taxes, and that's all a tariff is, it's a tax, then that combined with the increasing interest rates that we're seeing as a result of the potential for higher deficits and the direct costs of the tariffs. So interest rates have begun to climb, and now to get a mortgage, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. So the combining increase in the cost of a new home and the cost of a mortgage is really a headwind for the housing market. That said, in many markets, you can't buy a house. There's none on the market. So what we're seeing is, I think, an effect that's more off into the future, by which I mean maybe next year, than right now. The demand right now is still very high.
Shelley, we're going to have to wrap it up, but getting back to your original point, when you have this income disparity and when wages aren't going up for the middle class, of course, the price sensitivity becomes a huge issue for the consumer.
Clearly, price sensitivity, and when consumption goes down in an area of our economy that, 70% of that economy, that's a danger sign. So I think we're okay in 2019 in terms of not falling into a recession, but this is something that's got to be fixed. If it's not fixed, the headwinds on the economy are going to be very substantial.
Good thoughts. Thank you very much, Shelley, and I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right, 12:30 on Buckmaster.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, now into the second half of our program, our noon hour program for you. This portion of the program presented by my favorite nursery in town. I love green things. 3384 East River Road. Beautiful location by the Rito Riverwalk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. When you go there, their 13-acre site has literally everything you could possibly want for your garden. Here's the good news. Zocalo now is quartered over at Green Thing. Zocalo, home to all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Jan and Jack now own Zocalo. And Zocalo, for years, was over by Country Club and Broadway. Well, now they're at Green Thing. So you can get your gardening supplies, your plants, and great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and some great European things as well. Let's welcome now Steve Gaynor. Steve is Republican candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. He's primarying Michelle Reagan. So Michelle has a primary opponent, and he is Steve Gaynor. Steve, how are you, sir?
Great, Bill. How are you this afternoon?
Doing very well. Why'd you decide, Steve, to get into this race?
Bill, last fall, some folks came to me and said that they knew there were problems in the Secretary of State's office. They were concerned that our incumbent would lose to a Democrat, and they asked me to take a look. So I did, and I found a lot of problems in the office. I looked at my skill set. I felt it was a fit with what was needed in the office, and then I decided to run.
What is your skill set, sir?
Bill, I've been in business for 35 years, mostly in executive positions. I was a business owner, often in the printing industry, but in a few other industries as well. And I've hired hundreds of people in my career, and had a track record of success. I've built several businesses. My printing business started as a little operation in West Phoenix and turned into three plants with about 350 employees.
Have you been a conservative all your life?
Yes, I have. I remember when I was a kid being what I thought was the only kid in my class in New York as a Goldwater Republican. So that ages me, I know, but yeah, I was a conservative. I must have been born that way.
And how long have you been out west?
I've been here 37 years. I moved here in August of 1981, right after business school.
Tell me about some of the issues that you see are your marquee issues, Steve Gaynor.
Well, I think the biggest issue in this campaign is the consent decree that Secretary Reagan signed a couple of months ago, settling a lawsuit that was seeking to overturn Prop 200, the provision that requires documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote. These two liberal groups sued her and the Maricopa County Recorder to overturn that provision, and instead of fighting it, she decided to settle and signed this consent decree, so that when people register to vote with the state form, if they don't have proof of citizenship, they are still registered to vote in federal elections.
I believe Michelle said that basically that was that these are functions of the county recorder's office. What do you say to that?
Well, that's true. The mm-hmm. county recorders are the people that are in charge of registering people to vote, but they have to follow the law. And since Prop 200 passed, the law has been that if a person registers using the state form, if they don't present proof of citizenship, the application is rejected. Under this consent decree, the county recorders are forced to register people to vote in federal elections, even if they have no proof of citizenship.
I see on your webpage one of your issues is rebuilding relationships. What's that all about?
In January of 2017, the recorders, all of them, all 15, sent a letter to Secretary Reagan saying, "Our relationship is in dire straits. Please fix it." As I've gone around the state and talked to the county recorders, they tell me that, if anything, the relationship is worse today than ever. And I know historically, certainly from talking with former Secretary of State Ken Bennett and Governor Brewer, who had been previously Secretary of State, this was never the way it was. The relationships were good. There was a partnership between the Secretary of State, who's the Chief Elections Officer, and the county recorders. I think it should be that way. unfortunately, it isn't right now.
Michelle Reagan says really she was not responsible for the long lines that occurred during the presidential preference election. What do you say to that?
Well, she certainly shared responsibility. She knew beforehand that the number of polling places had been reduced by over 80%. And as the chief elections officer, she oversees the elections. That election plan did not meet federal standards, and she should have spoken up. At the time, she apologized for not doing it. So I think she bears significant responsibility for it.
Steve Gaynor, as you know, the Secretary of State's office is so important in the state of Arizona because we do not have a lieutenant governor. Are you ready, if need be, do you have the qualifications to be the governor of Arizona?
I believe I do. You know, I got an MBA from Harvard. That doesn't mean everything, but it shows that I have something on the ball. I've been in business successfully for almost 40 years and employed hundreds and hundreds of people, hired hundreds of people, fired a few when they needed to be fired. I grew my business without taking on debt. I know what it means to earn a dollar, to pay a lot of taxes. I think I would be a good person to protect the interests of the taxpayer and protect public safety. When you've been around as long as I have, you've seen a lot, dealt with difficult situations. That's not why I'm running, but if need be, I could step up to that challenge.
Have you had any political experience before this, Steve?
I've been involved in Republican politics for a long time, but I've never run for office before.
And what has this experience been like? Could you share that with our listeners? How has this been for you?
It's been a great experience, better than I expected. Not having done it before, I didn't really know what to expect, but I've met so many great people. I've traveled around the state and visited places that in my 37 years in the state I'd never been. There are a lot of good people in the state. And I'll tell you another thing, the county recorders and election directors that I've met, by and large, are great people, dedicated public servants. I've really been impressed with them as a group. So for me, it's been a great experience. I've really enjoyed it.
How do you feel about the whole early voting thing, Steve Gaynor?
You know, it has its pluses and minuses. It's convenient. I think people like it. But it can be difficult to manage. And frankly, I've discovered running for office, it's not as easy, I think, as it would be if there were just one day. So, and then there are some security concerns. Did that person really sign that envelope? You know, you're not always 100% sure. But that's what we have in this state, and people like it. I think we're going to continue to have it.
Where can we find out more about your campaign, Steve Gaynor?
Go to gaynor4sos.com. It's gaynor4sos.com.
Thank you, sir, for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Steve Gaynor running as a Republican against Michelle Reagan, the incumbent. Coming up next, it's going to be a very fun segment because folks know I love college football. And I can't believe the season starts for Arizona anyway, like 2 weeks from Saturday? Crazy. Anthony Gimeno will be with me right after this.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality, for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018.
For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. A road trip to Silver City. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Maybe you've got a little time off during the middle of the week or looking forward to a weekend, want to do something different. It's a great place to get away, especially this time of year after the summer rains have greened up the Gila National Wilderness. So great place to do some hiking, camping, just hanging out in historic Silver City. For the full list, the starting place I would suggest would be southwestnewmexico.org. The complete list of the many great places to stay and the great recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now one of the 24 contributors to this program, Anthony Gimeno, sports journalist who spent 2 decades writing about University of Arizona athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He's co-founder of a local blog called AllSportsTucson.com, which is doing very well. He has co-written a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and we welcome him now. Anthony, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. UA football really begins and probably will end the season with one name, Khalil Tate. And Anthony, you may recall, you've been in town a long time, so have I. The last time that a U of A football player or players appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you got to go back to the Desert Swarm Teddy Bruschi era. And some say it's a jinx because Khalil Tate is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I don't know. Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. It's because Khalil seems to be handling it just fine. He met with the local media last night after practice, and to his credit, he says all the right things, you know, not going to his head. It's a team thing, and he's right about that because to win the Heisman, your team better be winning at least 9 games.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of players from those kind of teams to win the Heisman. You go 5-7. I don't care if you ran for 2,000 yards and passed for 3,000. You're not winning the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a team thing, but yeah, I guess you'd have to go back to the 1994 preseason cover when SI. But Arizona is number one, and with the headline "Rock Solid," they took them out to the. There were five defensive guys. They took them out to where did they take them? West. They took them to the desert west of the freeway.
Yep.
And I was actually tagging along that day, so I was like, I was right behind the photographer while he was shooting that photo that's very famous in Tucson of the guys on the SI cover. And it was really hot that day, and they were really happy to get out there as soon as they could.
You know, somewhere at home, I have that copy, the cover with signatures from all of the participants. And so it may be worth a little bit of money right now.
Nice. It was Bruschi and Tony Bowie, Jim Hoffman, Sean Harris, Brandon Sanders.
Yep.
Those were the five.
Yeah, there it is. I've got it in front of me on my screen. Thank you, Ray, for bringing that up. Rock Solid Arizona is number one. Now, as I recall, AG, the first game of the season, wasn't that the disaster at College Station, Pennsylvania?
You're thinking of 1999.
Oh, okay.
Arizona started the season around number three or so, coming off that 98 season.
Was there a jinx? Was there a jinx associated with this Rock Solid cover?
The 1994 season didn't turn out so hot. But they did start out fine, and then it began to unravel when they lost at home to Colorado State, which is they should have never lost that game. But they were 4-0, I believe. They lost to Colorado State, finished 8-4, and lost to Utah in the Freedom Bowl, which is, that may have been the last Freedom Bowl ever played. and if it didn't last long after that. If that was the last one, it was fitting because that game was horrible. It was in Anaheim. I believe Arizona allowed like 75 total yards and lost. How do you do that? It was like 16-13, something like that. Crazy game, and it was one of those early 90s Arizona Dick Tomey games, man. They were going to just grind it out, play defense, but sometimes they came back to bite them. So, yeah, the 94 season didn't turn out so hot. It was a winning season and all that, but certainly not what it could have been.
So let me go back to what you said about, to win the Heisman, you got to be with a team to win 9 games. So is this a team that can win 9 games?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that's a little above expectations, but not outrageously so. And this is I'd like to say about a 7.5 win team. So 8 wins is, it wouldn't take anything crazy special to get 8 wins. And 9 wins is right there for the taking. And part of that is, they have a really favorable schedule. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but no Washington, no Stanford. You get USC at home. You get Oregon at home. And you get even ASU at home.
Wow.
So you don't have to go up to Tempe this year.
Yeah.
So it's a really good schedule. 9-3 in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy talk. If you wanted to put, if you were interested in putting together your preseason top 25 for college football and you slid Arizona in there near the end of the top 25, that's perfectly reasonable. Sports Illustrated did that in their preseason poll or preseason rankings. For Lindy's, I believe I had Arizona like 32, 34.
Uh-huh.
But really, about 26 through 35, you start flipping a coin because they're all kind of the same team. So it just kind of depends on how you feel that day, but I would have had, I wouldn't have any issue with putting Arizona in the top 25 and going 9-3. And that's really the, when you look at the history of the Heisman over the last 20, 25 years, a couple guys have won with a 9-win team, but almost exclusively it's really double digits.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
I want to talk about the schedule, and thank you, Ray, for pulling that up on my screen. These first two games are very intriguing, and the U of A needs to get off to a good start and really win both of them. BYU is always a well-coached team. That's going to be our first home game on September 1st, 2 weeks from Saturday. Then going to Houston, that one looks like it could be a lot of trouble. A 9 a.m. start Pacific time, 11 a.m., which is still too early, in Houston, and that's an intriguing matchup because, of course, Coach Sumlin's background at Houston.
Right. Those, you know, probably right now there are fans in Provo who would disagree that BYU is a well-coached team.
Okay.
BYU's coming off. Normally, that would be true.
Normally, yes.
They're coming off a 4-win season.
Historically.
Historically accurate.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
But based on last year, there's a lot of unhappiness in BYU. Like I said, they're coming off a uncharacteristic 4-win season that people were very much unhappy with the offensive coordinator and the way the offense was being run. So I think that's another break Arizona gets a little bit, that BYU's not a 8 or 9 caliber win team. They're a team that's struggling to find itself, especially, and that'll be especially true in season opener. Houston, this is the gateway game for Arizona. You know, you beat Houston, which is a pretty good team. They have perhaps the best player in the country, which is, Arizona fans saw him last year, defensive tackle named Ed Oliver, former 5-star recruit. He might be the number one pick in next year's draft. He's already declared he's leaving after this season, after his junior year for the NFL.
Wow.
He is a legit, he could have gone anywhere in the country, but he has ties to Houston. And that's where he ended up. So, and another thing about Houston is that since the spring, they've added about 5 or 6 immediately eligible transfers from other schools, like Ole Miss and maybe Baylor, I believe. So they've fortified themselves over the summer, and that will be, everybody's going to be watching because of Sumlin, Khalil Tate, Ed Oliver, and if Arizona could win that in that early morning window, like I said, everybody would be watching, then Arizona sets itself up to be 4-0 going to USC at the end of, going into the USC game at home at the end of September.
Yeah, that
and
would.
And at that point, everything's possible, right?
Yeah, it is.
And if they beat USC, we'll be talking every day about Arizona, just you and me right here.
Yep.
Right here on the radio.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. The thing that worries me, not only the Sports Illustrated cover, which I could have done without just because it kind of worries me, because not only Khalil would have been a target anyway for all these defenses, now he's really a target.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Sumlin and his crew are, they're not going to necessarily limit Khalil. I think they'll be smart with how they use him and exactly how much he runs. Certainly Kevin Sumlin knows what to do with an athletic running quarterback because he had Johnny Manziel, who as a freshman ran for 1,410 yards, which is just one fewer yard than what Khalil Tate ran for last year. So he fits really well. But Khalil might run a little bit less than last year. I think they want to make sure he's a full-service quarterback, a full-service passer who can stand in the pocket, make all the reads, and deliver the ball because he has the tools to do it. But that's really the final step in his evolution because he threw well mostly last year, but he wasn't asked to do a lot of things that were complicated in the passing game. And to really take the next step and to keep defenses on their on his heels. He needs to use the whole field, all routes, all coverages, and then how do you stop the dude? But they'll be smart with limiting how much he gets hit.
And, yeah, they have to really keep him healthy. Anthony Jamil.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll look for your work at All Sports Tucson, which is doing very well, right?
Doing very well. As you know, some names people know, Steve Rivera, Javier Morales. So we're old-timers. We're the old-timers.
There you go. Me too. Thanks, AG. Okay. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen putting it together from 4 to 6. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster. 12:04, we'll do the noon hour thing again tomorrow. I'll look forward to it. See you then.